Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Still our hearts before the Lord, and we'll bow in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our eternal Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank Thee that we can come into Thy presence at the throne of grace in the name of the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for that access that has been granted. We thank Thee for the way that has been made. And we thank Thee that we can cry unto Thee, Abba, Father. And O Father, we do thank Thee that we can gather in such a fashion. We thank Thee that we can come together and we can worship Thee through the praise of these great gospel hymns. We thank Thee that we can come to Thee in prayer. We thank Thee that we can read Thy precious word. And we thank Thee that we can sit as a congregation at the feet of Christ, even around the precious word of God. And we do pray for Thy servant, the Reverend Kenny, as he would come to open God's precious truth. We pray that You will anoint him with that special power from on high, fill him full with God the Holy Spirit. And we pray tonight that he will handle Thy precious word with power and with might. We thank Thee for Thy promise that it shall not return unto Thee void. And so we pray that it will accomplish that which You would send it forth to accomplish. We pray that You'll build up the saints of God, that backsliders would be restored. And we pray that if any are in earshot, that know not Thee as their own and personal Saviour, that this would even be the time that they flee from their wrath to come and accept Christ as their Saviour. So continue with us as we gather here, for it's in our Saviour's precious name, and for His sake we pray. Amen. We're turning to Psalm 17 in the Word of God this evening, and we're going to commence our reading at the verse number 1. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me, and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvellous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings, from the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword, from men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. We're going to sing our next hymn, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this.
Grateful to the Reverend Nathan McVeigh for leading the service. And it is a joy to join with Let the Bible Speak around the Word of God. It's always a privilege to open up the Scriptures together. And we're coming to the 17th Psalm, and it is a prayer of David. And I would like to center my thoughts around the final verse of the Psalm. And there we read, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." This verse of Scripture brings before us David's hope for eternity. The psalm is a prayer of David, and the prayer runs right through the psalm. And when he's coming to the conclusion of his prayer, he makes here an assessment concerning himself. And he says, "As for me." And so he's speaking here personally about himself. And he's weighing up matters. He's evaluating his life. He's reckoning upon the future. And he's looking out into eternity. And here, as he speaks personally, he says, "As for me." Whenever you look into the Psalms, you would find that David often made certain assessments. And then he came to a conclusion, and he would make an affirmation. For example, in the very next Psalm, in Psalm 18 and the verse 30, David here is considering the Lord himself. And he says, "As for God, his way is perfect." And the psalmist, having come to that consideration of the Lord, he reaches this verdict. He comes to this conclusion, and he makes this affirmation, "As for God, his way is perfect." And God's dealings with his people are beyond error. There is no fault with the Lord. The Lord is just, and all his ways are true, all his ways are complete. And the psalmist David could say, even from experience, and he had been through many difficulties, and knowing how the Lord delivered him, in all of the Lord's dealings with the psalmist, he comes to this conclusion, and he says, "As for God, his way is perfect." In the Psalm 103, David makes another assessment, and this time it's concerning man in general. In Psalm 103 and the verse 15, he says, "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth." And so whenever the psalmist considers their man, he's looking at the shortness of man's life. He's thinking there of the brevity of his life. Man's days are fleeting, and he's just like the grass. And the grass of the field can grow up in the morning, and in the evening it can be cut down. And when the psalmist thought about man, here was his conclusion: "As for man, his days are as grass." You see how the psalmist makes these various assessments. And he says, "As for God, his way is perfect. And as for man, his days are as grass." And in our text of Scripture today, he's saying, "As for me." And he's bringing it right home to himself. He's speaking personally, and he's speaking about his hope for eternity. And I want us to consider it for just a few moments together, that David's hope for eternity might be your hope for eternity. As you think of the words here in this 15th verse, notice firstly David's confidence. Mark how the psalmist David speaks here. He says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." And he said there, "I will and I shall." And those words are full of faith. They are full of confidence. There's no element of doubt there at all. He doesn't say perhaps. He's not saying, I hope so, and I hope that everything will just work out well in the end. No, when David is speaking about his hope for eternity, it was a sure and it was a certain hope. He had that assurance. He had that confidence to say, I will, and I shall. Some would tell us that's being presumptuous. And we could not be so presumptuous, especially about our eternal destiny. But yet when we examine the scriptures, we find that God's word gives us good ground for such an assurance and for such a confidence. That great chapter, John chapter 3, the very final verse in that chapter, verse 36. It's John the Baptist who is speaking, and as he brings his witness to a close, he said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Hath everlasting life. In other words, once you come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, you're in possession right away of eternal life. Speaking there, in the present tense, hath everlasting life. And so the Bible, the Word of God, gives us great ground to have that confidence and that assurance in relation to eternity. Whenever the Apostle John was writing his first epistle in chapter 5 and the verse 11, he said of God's people, God hath given to us eternal life. He hath given it to us. It is that divine gift from God. And here is that gift from a God who cannot lie. And he gives to his people, to those who trust in him, he gives to them eternal life. And we can rejoice that we are secure in the Lord. The Lord Jesus himself said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my hand. You know, when the Apostle Paul was writing his epistles, he certainly spoke with great confidence concerning eternity. You remember when he spoke to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 1, and he was speaking about his earthly body. And he said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were destroyed, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And Paul was saying to the Corinthians, we know that. We know it with assurance and with confidence. Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul spoke there about the believer's security. He said, for I am persuaded. And that's a strong word. It meant he was fully persuaded. He was absolutely persuaded. And he said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor things in heaven nor things on earth shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. When Paul spoke to Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse 12, For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Do you hear those words that are full of confidence and full of assurance? Based on the promises God's precious truth. So when you think of our text of Scripture, Psalm 17 and the verse 15, they're certainly words of confidence. But we also see David's consolation. Listen to what he says. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall behold thy face. What a wonderful prospect that is for every child of God, that one day we are going to see the face of our blessed Saviour. When the Apostle John penned the words of Revelation, he said in Revelation 22 and the verse 4 of God's people, those who are the redeemed of the Lord, they shall see his face. Weren't you singing the words just a short time ago? Only faintly now I see him, with a darkling veil between, but a blessed day is coming when his glory shall be seen. Seeing the face of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'm sure you know the hymn writer Fanny Crosby. She was blind from a very early age in life. And she said, when I get to heaven, the first face that shall gladden my sight will be that of my Saviour. To be able to look upon our Saviour's face. What a consolation that is. I will behold thy face in righteousness. Notice those words, in righteousness. That's the only way that we would ever behold the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has to be in righteousness. And that presents us with something of a problem. Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. And so if there is none righteous, how can the psalmist David and the apostles and others of God's people be able to speak with confidence that we will behold his face in righteousness? No righteousness in me is found, except upon redemption ground. And thank God when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness becomes ours. It is imputed to us. It's credited to our account. It is received by faith alone. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the apostle writes, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way to stand before God is robed in the perfect righteousness of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And then we have that great consolation. And we could say with the psalmist David, I will behold thy face in righteousness. But I want you to notice here David's contentment. Because he said there in the latter part of the verse, I shall be satisfied. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And here is happiness. Here's joy. Here is contentment in full measure. And we will know that only when we get to glory. My, here upon earth we can say that we're saved and yes, we're satisfied in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, but yet it could never be full and complete satisfaction until we get to glory. Because while we're here in the flesh, we battle every day against the world, the flesh and the devil. While we're on this earth, there will always be something that doesn't satisfy. While we're on this earth, we will have trials to face. We will have sorrows and griefs that we need to go through. But my, whenever we reach the glory, heaven is the home of true satisfaction. Our faith will give way to sight. Our hope will give way to possession. We will come to that grand realization that we have true satisfaction only in the Lord Jesus Christ. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. When we're here upon earth, We know that ongoing work of sanctification, and every day we're to die more and more unto sin and live more and more unto righteousness. We're to be conformed more and more to the image of God's dear Son, but one day we're going to be like Him. John says it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Do you see here David's hope for eternity? As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness. I trust today that the hope that David had for eternity will indeed be the hope of each one who hears this message. Most especially if you're not yet prepared and you're not yet ready for heaven, that even now you would come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and you would know that blessed assurance for eternity. May God bless His word to every heart. Let's unite together in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity to open up the Scriptures of truth together. And we thank Thee, our Father, that Thy Word is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and we pray that it would indeed pierce into hearts. If there are those, our Father, who have heard the Word and even would be troubled and burdened concerning eternity, grant, O God, that deciding grace. And may they come to that joy and that peace in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless Thy children that have heard Thy word. Increase our faith in Thee. And give to us, O God, that firm assurance and that great prospect for eternity. And may we each be able to say with the psalmist David of old, "As for me, I will behold Thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with Thy likeness." We thank Thee that Thy word shall not return unto Thee void, but it shall accomplish that which Thou dost please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto Thou hast sent it. Hear and answer prayer. We offer it giving thanks in the Saviour's great name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.